Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of the intersection of shamanic Reiki, spirituality, and wildlife advocacy and activism. I'm your host, Reverend Debbie Philp, and I'm here to share insights and practices to keep you feeling grounded, connected, and real as you unveil your unique gifts to the world and step forward as an inspirational leader and change maker in service to your circle, your community, and our Earth's wild beings. I'm recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the passenger pigeon, and the gray wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you're listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support, and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now. I'm so glad you're joining me for episode 117 of My Shamanic Life. And today I'm going to talk about finding your sit spot and what that means. But before I get into it, I just want to share, first of all, I'm very excited to be vending at the Fairy and Magical Creatures Festival in Elizabethtown, New York tomorrow. That is September 3rd. So depending on when you catch this podcast, it may not be tomorrow. It is the first time that I am doing this kind of big in-person public event as my shamanic Reiki persona, not my turtle educator persona, since before the pandemic. Although the turtles will be with me, I am offering short shamanic Reiki elemental cleanses in exchange for donations to Dancing Turtle Rescue. And we'll have some of my ambassador turtles with me and possibly my dragon. So we'll see how that goes. I'm just watching to see what the weather is going to be like tomorrow before I decide everyone who comes. I am just feeling very excited, and I am going there after I've just finished completely redoing my website. So if you go to myshamaniclife.com, which takes you to the podcast page on my website, you're going to see that the colors are a little bit different. Things have been updated. And I've added a whole bunch of information about the ceremonies that I officiate and what I am planning to bring back out into the world now that we are reemerging. And it feels really good. I'm not nervous. I am excited. And that is telling me that Spirit is totally behind this. It feels very aligned and very authentic, the way that I am putting myself out right now. And I just can't wait to be with like-hearted people for a while. So that being said, I also want to remind you that virtual shamanic Reiki training is happening this fall for level one and level two and master practitioner in early 2023. Those are already up on my website. Registration is open. And I hope if you are curious about shamanic Reiki that you will check it out. I will make sure that there is a link in the show notes so that you can see that. Level one is beginning on September 21st, I believe. Yes, it's a Wednesday night, and we're going to be doing it spread out over three consecutive Wednesday evenings, which is a little bit different than I've done it in the past, but I think it's going to work much better for the virtual and free everybody's weekends up. So check that out if you're interested in shamanic Reiki. There's a lot of information there about what it is and what the different levels introduce, take you through, and what the prerequisites are for each. So yeah, be sure to go there. And again, you can go to myshamaniclife.com. That's going to take you to the podcast page on my website. And then you can either go down to the bottom menu or just, you know, hit the home button and navigate over to the shamanic Reiki page. Okay, let's get to the topic for today, finding your sit spot. Well, this concept wasn't new to me. It was defined and really honed in for me when I read the book Coyote's Guide to Connecting with Nature, written by John Young, Ellen Haas, and Evan McGowan, who are part of the Wilderness Awareness School. And this book is meant to be a guide for mentors who are working with children of all ages, you know, younger teenagers, in helping teach them about connection to nature. And a sit spot is simply a place out in nature where you go every day or as often as you can, and you simply sit and be present. The authors call the sit spot the magic pill. It is the core of this mentoring model. And the idea is really simple. And I'm going to quote it right here from the book. Guide people to find a special place in nature where they become comfortable with just being there, still and quiet. In this place, the lessons of nature will seep in. Sit spot will become personal because it feels private and intimate, the place where they meet their curiosity, the place where they feel wonder, the place where they get eye to eye with a diversity of life forms and weather patterns, the place where they face their fears of bugs, of being alone, of the dark, and grow past them, the place where they meet nature as their home. And that is the essence of this practice, is to find a place in nature and to sit. And I started this practice in earnest on January 1st, 2020. I had just for Christmas gotten this beautiful naturalist journal, and it was my intention to record every day what was going on in nature and to spend some time out there just really tuning in to the wildlife, to everything that was going on. I had a number of gray squirrels who were living out there that were ones that I had raised as a rehabilitator and were still hanging around. So I was making sure to feed them and make sure that they had everything they need, especially because the ones that I released in the fall didn't have their mother to cache for them and stuff like that. So they needed some little extra support over the winter. So I made that my practice. I went out at the same time every morning. I found a little spot out beyond our backyard fence, facing the woods. I grabbed a split log from our wood pile to sit on. And January 1st, 2020 was cold. So I layered myself in Lots of warm clothes. I put on my ski pants and my heavy coat, my hat and my gloves. And I went out and I sat. And I watched. And I sat. And I watched and I listened. And after about 10 minutes, I came in and wrote some things in my journal and then went back out and did it again on January 2nd and have stuck to it without missing too many days since then. And I have occasionally because we've been away or I was sick or something like that. But for the most part, I have been out there every day since January 1st, 2020. Now, interesting timing for me to start that because 3 months later, we ran into the pandemic. New York State shut down, as did many other places. And suddenly, I was cut off from everyone. It was an incredibly stressful time. My yoga studio was in financial trouble almost immediately after we shut down because there was no income to pay rent and things like that. And, you know, I was having to make decisions about whether I was going to keep it going or not. And then, of course, my youngest was now remote learning high school, and there was just the chaos that transition brought on. My husband was working from home, so we were all home, and it was just very strange and stressful, and there was so much uncertainty, so much fear. When I started the practice on January 1st, I had no idea how incredibly important that simple practice was going to be. And I kept it going no matter how cold it got, no matter how much snow was on the ground. And it started to become part of my morning routine. So I would go out, I would fill the feeders for the squirrels, I would take some grain to the chickens, and I would go sit. I would usually have some nuts in my pocket or in a container for any squirrels who ventured close to me while I was sitting. But mostly I just sat and I watched and I listened. And then shortly after the shutdown, I was in the process of applying for seminary right during the initial days of the shutdown and found out about a group that was gathering on Zoom to meditate together in the morning. And through One Spirit, and they had just started it again as a response to the pandemic and all of a sudden nobody being able to get together in their meditation groups. So I decided to join. So I shifted my timing for my sit spot and I would put the Zoom on my phone and go out, put the phone in my pocket so I could listen. It wasn't on camera. And I would sit and listen to the facilitator introduce the meditation and then go into silence and treat the silence just like I always did in my sit spot, watching and listening. And that group, I am still doing that. That has become my morning routine so very much that I very rarely miss it. Today was the 900th day of that group meeting. And I started maybe a week or two after they started. So I've been with them for almost that full 900 days. And it has just become, again, so very important to me, this moment where it's like, this is my time, this 20 minutes when I'm on Zoom, sitting outside with the phone in my pocket or on the ground in the summertime when I don't have on clothes with pockets, is just my time. My time for being with nature. And it has expanded even. I still take care of my chickens right before it. I fill the feeders. I take my nuts outside for the squirrels. And now after, I am doing some work for my Druid candidacy with the Ancient Order of Druids in America. One of their core practices is called the Sphere of Protection, and I have been doing that every morning. And then since ordination, I have incorporated into my little Sphere of Protection ritual the repetition of my vows of ministry, my personal vows of ministry. So it has just built this entire practice around it, but really the core was that magic pill of sitting and being and connecting with nature. And I have had so much understanding and insight coming into this. One of the things that has really helped is making sure that I am out there no matter the weather. So if it's snowing, I bundle up. If it's raining, I put my raincoat on. If it's raining a lot, I have, you know, my rain pants that I put on too so that I can actually sit. And no matter what, I am out there. And by doing that, I am noticing, what is it like for these beings that I am sitting with, these wild beings, to survive in this? How do they do it? What changes for them? How do they respond? How do they respond to the really hot days? How do they respond to the wet days? How do they respond to the snowy days? I notice as the length of days changes, are they out really early? Do they come out a little bit later when it's cold and dark in the mornings? What do the birds do? And the birds are really interesting because I have some blue jays that now stay year round. And I had the pleasure of watching one of the pairs fledge a baby this year, watching that little fledgling as soon as it left the nest, following the parents around. I never saw the nest, but I did see it once it fledged. And it was just such a joy. But there's also the birds that do migrate. So what birds are here in the summertime? What birds are here in the wintertime? When do they start to transition? When do they disappear? When do they appear again in the spring? I have learned so much from watching. Last year was really wet in the summertime, so I saw more things like red efts, which are the juvenile stage of the eastern newt. They're a terrestrial little bright orange salamander, and they like the wetter weather. We very often see them hiking if we get caught in the rain. They usually come out after the rain. I saw more snakes last year when it was wet. This year it's been different. And this year I've seen the squirrels coming to our bird bath for our drinks, because there's just not enough water out. And it's just really interesting. And it really helps you to feel like, first of all, you're part of the ecosystem. I mean, to be able to just sit there very quietly and have a chipmunk run across your feet, totally unconcerned about your presence, happens when they get used to your presence being there, and your presence is still and quiet and seeking belonging rather than trying to kind of invade. They learn pretty quickly that I am not a hunter, that I will probably have treats in my pocket, and that I am part of that there. So, the idea of your sit spot is to get to know a place really well. And of course, I tend to focus on the animals because that is where I connect in with nature the most, but I also watch the plants. I see the leaves come down. I see the trees bare. I see them bud. I see the ferns die away in the fall and pop up again in the spring. I see what comes up through the snow and what waits. Really tuning in to the cycle of the natural world, where I am. And that's important to get a real sense of place. And then I also began to incorporate the practice of mindfulness. A mindfulness meditation is approached many ways, and it's all about being fully present in your body and getting a more narrow focus and all of these different, there's all these different approaches to mindfulness. But the one that really appealed to me was to very mindfully watch and listen. And when I learned mindfulness that way, I learned it in a workshop with yoga teacher Cindy Lee, where instead of closing your eyes, you keep a soft gaze and you just let everything come. You let the sounds come. You let whatever crosses your visual path come. You let any sensations in the body rise and fall. And just let it all be, and then just keep dropping back to the breath. So you're not analyzing, you're not focusing, you're just being really present with it. And I think that was the key for me when I realized that as I was sitting, that I could also do my mindfulness practice, that helped make that sit spot practice a meditation more than just a kind of a naturalist thing. Like, I want to sit here and observe. Rather, I just want to be. And in being, I am getting to know this place really well because I am simply here and present every day. I'm not thinking about what it's going to look like, you know, in 2 months. I'm not thinking about what it was like last winter. I'm thinking about what it is like right now. And really not even thinking, just being, getting into more of that intuitive, instinctual even, way of being with the earth. So if you would like to find your own sit spot, I want to give you a few things that you can consider. One, stay close to home. You don't want your sit spot to be a half an hour walk into the woods, because there are going to be days when you simply don't have the time. But if it's close to home, like for me, where I can just walk out my back gate and sit on my split piece of wood, then it's really easy for me to get there. Even on the busiest days, I can take those 20 minutes and be out there. If you are in an apartment, you may feel like you have to go really far. And that is not necessarily true. Even in the city, you can sit on your balcony if you have one, or you can, you know, just go down the road, find a park bench or something like that. Find the closest place where you feel comfortable and safe. The second thing that I want to say is to be consistent. Give yourself a time when it is feasible for you to do it, a time of the day. So don't say you're going to go sit at 5 a.m. if you know that in a couple months when it's dark in the morning, getting up at 5 a.m. is not going to work for you. Don't say you're going to do it at 11 p.m. when you know you're going to be super tired. What time of day works? And be consistent with that time of day so it gets to be ritual, routine for you. The third thing is don't worry about how long you're staying. When I was listening to Cindy Lee when she was teaching that mindfulness meditation, she said, if you commit to sitting for 20 minutes a day right off the bat, and the first day you're really antsy after 5 minutes and you quit, you failed. If you say, I'm going to start with 2 minutes, and you go out there and you do your 2 minutes and you want to keep going a little bit, that's fine because you've succeeded. Go out again the next day, another 2 minutes. And then if that starts to feel too easy, then you can always increase your commitment over time. But rather than set these very big lofty goals, make it so that this routine feels really good for you. And then the last thing is indoor. Endure the weather. And right, so notice, what do you have to do so you can be comfortable? When it's hot, when it's cold. And realize that as you are enduring, so are all of the other beings. And be mindful. Open up to noticing the plants, the animals, the bugs, everything that's around you. Notice how it feels for you to be there. Notice when fears come up. Notice when frustration comes up. Notice how your being in the natural world makes you feel. And share it. So that is what I want to gift you today. The invitation to go find your sit spot. To find that place where you can start to connect in. And this is something that I share with all of my shamanic Reiki students, to go find their sit spots. It is a core practice for being human in a world that needs us to remember that we are of nature, that we are of the earth. And how are we going to save it until we are sure that we belong? And I will leave you with that. Honoring the divine light in all beings that connects us and makes us one. Namaste.